And in Detroit's case, over 50 against the Bears. Boy, did they redeem themselves. We'll get into all of that and more next with our guest from Lindy's. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our friend and yours. He's Howard Balzer. Howard, what's up?
We're up, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You're 8 o'clock for you.
Yeah, exactly. As always, though, another shake your – I guess we should never shake our heads anymore about what happens on an NFL Sunday or on an NFL long weekend. But it is another one of those shake-your-head games where you go, man, I can't believe that happened. Or, wow, how did that happen? But that's the National Football League for you. There's no doubt about that.
And one of those games was with the Cardinals, where you're based in Arizona, where they took the lead on a safety.
Yes.
They lose James Conner for the year, unfortunately, which we'll get to. Marvin Harrison Jr. still, I don't know where these Marvin Harrison Sr.-like numbers are going to come from, but kind of a snooze fest game. 2-0 are the 49ers with Mac Jones. They lose probably Bosa for an extended period of time. Physical game, close game. So one of those, hey, what the hell just happened ones. I guess that falls into that category, what happened out there.
It kind of does, and you said the physical. That's the key word. I mean, this was obviously a game that featured an awful lot of defense and big plays from defenses, and both teams really couldn't run the ball at all. In fact, I had noted that with Connor being hurt on the second offensive play for the Cardinals of the second half, it was on a one-yard gain, which was fitting because his effort for the afternoon, 9 carries for 22 yards, 6 of those runs were for 1 yard, and another one gained nothing. And that's been the story of the Cardinals' rushing game for the first 3 games of the season. Now, of course, they won't have Connor. And even on the flip side, Christian McCaffrey, who did have a huge 20-yard reception, which was more really like mostly 20 yards after the catch, that got them into really basically chip shot field goal range for the winning 3 points. But, you know, running the ball, he only had 17 carries for 52 yards. So, you know, teams couldn't run, and it was just a knockdown drag out like that for the entire game. And what was, you know, really, you know, the first 2 games of the season, the Cardinals had stopped the Saints and stopped the Panthers on their final possession when the Saints could have tied it and the Panthers could have won. This time after the safety, 49ers, after the Cardinals couldn't do anything after receiving the kick, 49ers get the ball in their 20, and, you know, Mac Jones, you know, didn't have a whole lot of passing yards, you know, up until that final drive. And all of a sudden, he's, you know, hitting a short one here, hitting a short one there. Cardinals couldn't get him off the field, and they get in position for the winning field goal. So now the 49ers, of all teams, are in first place in the NFC West with an undefeated record.
What do you think of the NFC West, Howard?
Well, I've thought all along that it's there for just about anyone's taking, and I didn't see any real standout teams that was going to run away and hide. Started thinking a little bit differently yesterday when the Rams raced off to that 26-7 lead, over the Eagles. And then I'm pretty sure they didn't score again the rest of the game, and the Eagles won it. And so, you know, the Rams have their flaws. I mean, every team has. You mentioned Bosa. 49ers have had a lot of injuries. The Seahawks won big yesterday, but that was over the Seahawks. You know, we'll learn a little bit on a short week, you know, this week, where the Cardinals, after this game yesterday and losing Connor, they're back at it against the Seahawks on Thursday night. And, you know, the Seahawks are now 2-1. And so I think the division remains wide open, but, you know, for the Cardinals without Connor, it's going to be difficult for them to establish that consistent running game with only Trey Benson and the guys behind him. So it's going to be tough for them. And you had mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. He just, the crazy part, guys, is that all summer and throughout the offseason, all anybody could talk about, oh, Marvin Harrison got bigger. You know, he hit the weight room and he got stronger in the upper body and all these things. And the connection is building between him and Kyler Murray. And yet he's had critical drops in the last 2 games. And almost, I hate to say disinterested because I know he's not, but he just doesn't seem like a guy who was the fourth pick overall in the draft in 2024. And so he's just not making those plays that are necessary if you're going to win close games. And right now the Cardinals have had three games decided by one score, and they've won two of the three, obviously including, you know, with the one loss yesterday.
Howard, what was your biggest shocker yesterday? Which game?
Wow. I mean, I would probably I would say the Vikings and the Bengals, you know, not because we expected a whole lot from Cincinnati after losing Joe Burrow, but you figured at least Jake Browning would be able to keep them competitive. You know, they've got good players around him, and yet they lose to the Vikings with Carson Wentz at quarterback, 48-10. And plus, you know, this guy has a good shot at being defensive player of the week in the NFC. Quarterback Isaiah Rodgers had two forced fumbles in the game, plus an 87-yard interception return for a score and a 66 fumble return touchdown for a score. So for them to dominate that game 48-10 was somewhat surprising. Not that surprised that they won, but the way they did it was pretty eye-opening.
What do you think about tonight, Howard?
It should be a heck of a game. I mean, you have, you know, two very good teams that can score points on offense. Which defense will step up and be able to get some stops and do that? I mean, certainly, I'm not going to expect the Lions to go out there and score 50 plus like they did last week. But you know, that's a tough offense, and if they've got their offensive line issues that hurt them in week one solved, then you know they're going to be able to move the football on the Ravens. But I'm sure the Ravens will be able to move the ball, I would think, on the Lions. So I think this is, you know, probably going to be another close game. I mean, in this first, you know, first 15 games of week three, there were 7 one-score games, which is actually down from the average the first 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks there were 20, but 7 one-score games and another two that were within one score at some point in the fourth quarter. So I certainly expect that from this game. And you know, we'll see how it plays out with two of the better teams in the NFL.
Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Howard. AFC South, which more surprising for you through 3 weeks? Colts are 3-0 or Houston's 0-3?
Yeah, I guess it's probably a flip of the coin on those. But certainly, I guess I'd have to go with the Colts. You know, the Texans, you know, they have some issues on offense. C.J. Stroud, you know, last season and now for the first part of this year doesn't look like, you know, the same guy. But, you know, they've had injuries at the receiver position and they don't run the ball well, and that's really hurt them. But the Colts, though, I mean, I've always said this about Daniel Jones. I think he's maybe one of the more unfairly maligned quarterbacks that's come into the league over the last number of years, because when he was healthy with the Giants, he played pretty good football. He can run. He's mobile. I'm not saying he's all world, but he's a good quarterback. And in Brian Daboll's first year as coach a couple of years ago, when Jones stayed healthy and they had Saquon Barkley, they made the playoffs. And so now he's healthy again with good players, you know, around him. And they've obviously played very good football at the start, you know, at the start of this season. How long will he maintain it? We'll see. Because 3 games does not a whole season make. But that would be more surprising to me than the Texans getting off to that pretty difficult start.
Howard Balzer, Biddy at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Howard, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Howard. Take care.
There's Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer at Lindy's, now based in Arizona with the Cardinals. By the way, if that guy from the Vikings doesn't win Defensive Player of the Week, then it's like boxing judges choosing that sort of thing. We'll come back. It's a whip around. We're going to the Big Ten football world. Stick around for that. And then Tim 20 man, whatever. Lions.com. I'll ask him how he I like 20 man, like a superhero. 11:30. Talk about that offense coming in against this Ravens beleaguered D. Well, more injury plagued than anything, but their defense stopping this Ravens offense.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney 105.7 The Fan. It's game day. Ravens hosting the Lions tonight 8:15, M&T Bank Stadium, as you heard during Nolan's update. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored coming up tonight. Brew Brothers, we start at 5, but Inside Access will be there from 2 until 5. So we got you covered down in Baltimore, getting you ready for this big game between two Super Bowl hopefuls. Orioles, we'll get to the American League East report later in the show. They lose 3 out of 4 to the Yankees. Trevor Rogers was great on Friday, and Bradish was strong yesterday. Masayo won flat court. So there's good news, I guess. Stick around for that. But in the Big Ten, you had a couple of interesting games going on here. You had Oklahoma handling their business, right?
Yep.
Against Oklahoma State, right?
No, they beat Auburn.
Auburn. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Oklahoma did. Close game.
It was very close
game. Did what they had to do. No doubt about that. But Mateer, the quarterback for the Sooners, is now kind of ascended to the top of the Heisman platform for now.
Yeah. It wasn't like he was awesome Saturday against Auburn. You know, but, I mean, Bob, that's where they're at. It's like nobody is jumping up to take that award. Everybody's like coming back to the pack.
Hey, a couple of other interesting games going on here. Michigan, number 21, beat Riola, Minnie Mahomes, and Nebraska 30-27. Nebraska got the Hail Mary at halftime. That made it close. And he did throw three picks, but Underwood finally had somewhat of a coming out party there.
And Biff Poggi, you know, I watched the interview
the
with
Biffster.
Him. Yeah. He told his team, he said, listen, he says, we're kicking the crap out of them. You know, they got a Hail Mary and, you know, and then Bob, they interviewed him after the game. They says, well, what are you going to do? You ended up 2-0. He says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to have, with my wife, I'm going to have some coffee, ice cream, smoke me a Cuban cigar, and then I'll probably have to go to the hospital.
Biff Poggi, of course, longtime coach at Gilman. At St. Francis, Notre Dame blows out Purdue as they put 56 on the board for their first win of the season. You could tell that Freeman and the boys were just taking out some frustrations on their in-state rivals.
Oh, they ran it down their throats, Bob. I mean, Purdue couldn't stop the run.
USC handles Michigan State with relative ease, 45-31. It was Washington, who Maryland will see next after the bye, 59-24. Over Washington State. But the story of the game, which was one of the marquee matchups of week 4 of the college football landscape, Indiana taking on Illinois, the Hoosiers ranked 19, the Fighting Illini coming in at number 9, and then now my new favorite college football player that doesn't play for Maryland, Fernando Mendoza. He goes insane.
Second and goal, Mendoza, end zone, touchdown, too easy, Elijah Surratt has his second, and count them, 5 scores for Fernando.
NBC on the call, Fernando Mendoza, 21 of 23, 5 touchdown passes on the day. This was a blowout, puppy pants, hammer time, this wasn't even close. He is now 14 touchdowns, no picks for the now number 11 ranked Indiana.
Bob, you know who else is starting to will start to get some play, I'll bet you, for the Heisman? Is the Vandy quarterback. Because I think, what is he, like year 8 at Vandy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they've had some, they won, what, 70-0, I think, Saturday?
Yeah, right now the leaders in the clubhouse, odds-wise, Mateer, Mendoza, Carson Beck, Dante Moore, Gunnar Stockton getting some love with Georgia, but the Arch Mannings, the Klubnicks, all Neusmeyer, all of those. Now, they might have NFL futures, but in regards to Heisman Trophy excitement, that's not happening.
No, not at all. Yeah, because the people that were – and, Bob, you look at the mock drafts, all those guys, oh, it's going to be a great quarterback draft. They're in now, you don't. No, it is not.
Yeah, Sellers has had a rough go of it, too, for South Carolina. Let's see. What am I? Oh, Oregon blows out Oregon State. 41-7.
Yeah. And Oregon's going to Penn State for the whiteout game Saturday night, and College Game Day will be there. Did you watch College Game Day Saturday?
Bits and pieces.
Did you watch with McAfee at the end?
No, I was putting my new charcoal grill together.
All right, Bob, like at the end of the show. End of the show. Because it was like the humidity was 85%. They're all dripping and they're all soaking wet. McAfee, you know, he starts doing his, you know, he says, hold on. And he gets up and he starts running, you know, he's running out. He stops. Here's where Ray Lewis did his dance, did a little dance. Then he runs up to the top diving board, takes off his sport coat, takes off his jacket, takes off his pants, had a had a thong swimsuit on, ooh, and then jumped in.
That's what Nolan did Friday at Baltimore Baseball Tonight at Pickles Pub. By the way, top five in the Associated Press, updated rankings here. Ohio State, Miami moves up to number two. Penn State holding strong at three. LSU at four. Georgia coming in at five. Oregon's number six, by the way. Maryland got six votes. So that places them 33 in this year's rankings of the college football teams of 2025. Coming up tonight, Ravens are taking on the Lions. M&T Bank Stadium. 2-1-1 teams. Two teams coming off blowout wins after disappointing losses in week one. Week two, hammer time. Opposing teams. We got Tim Twentyman joining us from Lions.com. What's their health status coming into this game and the offense? 2 years ago, they came into Baltimore, and it was offensive how bad their offense was. And Lamar and the Ravens' offense blew them off the field. Looking for redemption. Are they capable of getting it done? It's Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. It's game day Monday. The Lions 52 against the Bears. Here to preview the game from a Detroit perspective. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's with Lions.com. He's Tim Twentyman. Tim, first of all, good morning, and thanks for joining us here on 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, no problem. Beautiful day in Baltimore today.
Oh, yes, it is. Now, let me ask you this about the 2 years ago game. And the Lions were coming in, the big fancy thing. I believe they had been kind of trouncing people heading into the matchup. As I said, we do our picks on the show. I took Detroit to win, which is usually the kiss of death when it's all said and done. Has there been any talk about the last matchup between these two teams, both of which that year went to their respective conference championship games? But is that even a thought right now for this year's Lions team, the embarrassment of 2023?
No, it has been, because a lot of the players on this roster here were on the 2023 roster. That's when the Lions were kind of just starting to turn things around and build this thing with a lot of young players. And look, they came here and they got their butts kicked physically, all three phases. And you know, Dan Campbell talked about it this week. Defensive coordinator Calvin Shepard talked about it being kind of a measuring stick game for him as a new coordinator. And, you know, the players talked about it too. Players don't forget beatings like that. And that was certainly one, but I think that year it was a good thing. It kind of was an eye opener for them. And you know, they can, like you said, they started playing much better football afterward and made it to the conference championship.
Hey, Tim, do you think they're going to be able to match the Ravens intensity and tenacity and physicality tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's kind of how this roster's built with Dan Campbell. And look, Dan talked about it this week. He is a huge fan of John Harbaugh. And I look at these teams, I think they're built similarly. Physical, especially up front on both sides of the ball. Want to establish the run first. Obviously a different dynamic at quarterback with Lamar, you know, being so versatile and MVP caliber. But if you protect Jared Goff, he can stand in the pocket and he can deliver footballs. And he's had some games with some perfect ratings. So, but it all starts, like Baltimore, they want to get it going on the ground first. So they're similarly built teams. So I think that's what will be so fun about tonight.
Well, you know what I see is going to be one of the big keys to this one is which team can rush the passer better, because neither team has done a very good job yet.
No, it's a really good point. And I think it's a little bit different for Detroit. It's not so much rushing the passer, but being disciplined in your rush. I think when you're Detroit and you look at this game, Lamar is so dynamic when he gets out of the pocket, just in terms of the run throw option he has there. And if he's doing that all game and he's getting out of the pocket, they're really impossible to stop. And so, you know, I think if you let him sit back there and he's got to throw it 30, 35 times and he, you know, throws for 300 yards and four touchdowns and beat you, you tip your cap and you move on to next week. But I think that's got to be the strategy. So it's got to be a smart rush for Detroit, too, in terms of not opening those lanes and giving Lamar opportunity to get out of the pocket. That's one thing they talked about this week.
Now, who's going to replace Davenport?
Yeah, it's going to be veteran Al-Qadim Muhammad. He's looked really good in camp, has kind of earned a bigger role here, had a sack last week against the Bears. And so he's probably going to get the start. They'll rotate a few guys in, but he's going to be the guy that's got to step up the most, and then those guys inside as well.
Now, watching the film, I wasn't that impressed with the two guards in the center for the Lions offensively. The reason is, to me, not very athletic in what they do. They don't get up to the second level that well.
Yeah, you know, obviously Frank Ragnow was one of the best centers in all the game, and that's what he was terrific at. He retired this offseason. You know, he was just dealing with too much pain. His body wore down, and he eventually had enough. And look, Graham Glasgow replaces him, but, you know, a veteran guy who's played a lot of center, but not as athletic. And I think you're right. I think it's a good note by you, because that's what Frank was so good and what made this Lions run game so good was those guards and centers getting to the second level on linebackers. And that allowed those, you know, wide receivers to kind of deal with the corners. And you saw a lot of the big play game happen that way. I thought they were really good in pass pro, and they have been, but I think you're right. They do want to get a little bit better, a little bit more athletic, and try to help those guys open up a few more lanes inside. The success that Detroit's had running the ball has been to the outside early this year. So, you know, good point by you that they've definitely got to get better play inside.
What's the strength of the defense?
Especially the safety position. When you talk about Kirby Joseph, who led the league in interceptions last year with 9, and then Brian Branch, I see him as a similar player to Kyle Hamilton, a terrific player, versatile player here. To me, both those guys remind me of Ed Reed when I talk about Kyle Hamilton and Brian Branch. Lions will use him in the nickel. They'll use him in the deep safety. They'll use him as box safety. You guys know all this because you see it with Kyle every week too. Different body types, but the same type of player and the same kind of impact they have on the defense. Calvin Shepard called Brian Branch a pillar of that defense, and we're only going to be as good as those pillars take us. And so, yeah, it's a pretty sticky secondary, but the safety position in particular is probably the best two combo in the league with Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, and that's really the strength of this defensive back end.
Tim Twentyman joining us here, video at Haney 105.7 The Fan, Lions.com, 8:15 tonight. Two Super Bowl hopefuls get it on Monday Night Football. Both teams 1-1. But getting back to their offense, yours, I guess, Detroit against Baltimore's D, and Vinny brought up the pass rush. No Madubuike, no Van Noy for the Ravens tonight. Ravens got shredded by Josh Allen fourth quarter in week number one. How's this offense feeling about themselves after dropping 52 on the Chicago Bears and doing so? That if it was a boxing match, Tim, they would have stopped it in, I guess, early third quarter. But coming in here looking for a run for redemption, the weather's going to be pretty strong. What about this Ravens D going up against that Lions offense here, where matchup problems could be an issue?
Yeah, obviously missing a couple guys there is going to hurt Baltimore. And this is a Detroit team that's got a ton of confidence right now. I mean, look, they've got weapons all over the field. You know, I mean, it starts with Amon-Ra St. Brown. See what he did last. We got 100 yards receiving in the first half, 3 touchdowns. They've got that deep threat in Jameson Williams, who they just negotiated an extension with. I mean, he just takes the top off the defense. He's probably one of the 3-4 fastest guys in the NFL. And, you know, he's added more of the route tree to his game to be more dangerous. Sam LaPorta is one of the best tight ends in the league. Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, that running back duo. So, you know, like I said earlier, if they can protect Jared, they just put so much pressure on a defense with their speed. They can make plays in the deep, intermediate, and short part of the field. And you know, it's not only just the big plays, but they, you know, they can drive you and attack you and wear you down with their run game. So, it's going to be, I think, a high-scoring game. I think, you know, both teams are just so dynamic offensively. I wouldn't be surprised if it's another shootout. I know Baltimore fans probably don't want to hear that after week one, but it could be one of those type games, I think.
Your prediction for the game is what, Tim?
You know, I think this is a tough one. I'm going to take Baltimore in a close one. I think this comes down to late in the fourth quarter. Probably maybe a play on special teams makes a difference, guys. But Baltimore's really, really tough. That's going to be a crazy atmosphere with the blackout there tonight. I got Baltimore in a very close one.
Which puts Detroit at 1-2 with Cleveland and Cincinnati looming the next couple of weeks. Tim Twentyman, Lions.com. Tim, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight. And we'll catch up with you before Super Bowl 60 because the Ravens and Lions are going to the Super Bowl.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it, guys?
No, I picked the Orioles and Braves to go to the World Series, Tim. So don't take anything I say seriously.
Well, we in Detroit, we're a little worried about our baseball
team. You should
be. Got to figure out how to get a win here.
All right, Tim. Have a great one. We'll
talk
to you.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, guys, anytime.
Yeah, the old Tigers are flatlining. Ooh. You see Charlie Morton got DFA'd over the weekend by Detroit? How about old Mike Elias, who everybody wants to fire, actually flipping Charlie Morton for a pulse? Charlie Morton right now in a pennant race, no less, DFA'd there. We'll get to the standings and all that good stuff coming up in about an hour. But when we come back, Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens try to pick up their second win of the year, taking on Detroit, who could use a win themselves. So we got a lot to get to. We got news from the Nets. We got buy or sell. Where's the Monday money? And Jerry Coleman will be joining us at 12:30. Preview the game with him.
Time for Vinny's keys to victory.
All right. Ravens tonight, 8:15, taking on the Lions. M&T Bank Stadium. Detroit coming to town 1-1, same as Baltimore. Ravens 4.5-point favorites in this one. Neither team wants to be losing record team through 3 weeks. Ravens blew the big lead against Buffalo. Detroit week one, they got handled by Green Bay. Both bounced back nicely. Thank you very much in the second week of the season. So how does Baltimore get the upper hand tonight, Vinny, as they head off to Kansas City coming up Sunday afternoon?
Well, number one, Bob, we've been hearing it all morning. Don't let Goff get comfortable. He's completing 81% of his passes. And I thought the best way to disrupt him is inside pressure. You know, because he's in such a rhythm and such a rhythm thrower that, you know, you get the ball out pretty quickly that, you know, you can disrupt him by pressuring up the middle. So I think that I had that number one. Number two, I got contain Amon St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs. St. Brown's got 13 receptions for 160 and 3 touchdowns on 17 targets. So that's after 2 games. So after 2 games, Bob, he's basically getting 9 targets a game. You know, and Jahmyr Gibbs has 21 rushes for 113, averaging 5.4 with a touchdown. And he's got 13 receptions on 13 targets. Little dink and dunks, though, because it's for 41 yards. So those are the two guys that get most of the targets. And then number three, run the ball for over 180 yards. You know, I think the D-line is okay. It's not great. You know, they're going to try to put 8 in a box. And, you know, that. And if they do, Lamar's going to throw the football. You know, because they'll do that. I mean, they threw Lamar 2 years ago threw for almost 400 yards on him. So, and then I can see Lamar taking off and running too. So Lamar's going to be tough for them to stop. And then number four, don't beat yourself. No turnovers. Don't beat yourself. You know, and that's you look at the NFL yesterday. Like New England dominated Pittsburgh, but turned it over 5 times, lost the game. You know, St. Louis getting these punts blocked. You know, all those types of turnovers cost you games. And then the next one is maybe the biggest. The secondary's got to have their best game of the season. And I think they're going to have to, Bob. If you're not getting pressure, and then, all right, if they're not going to get pressure with four, and then they got a blitz, and then are you playing some man coverage, then you better play pretty damn good because your coverage has got to be good. They're going to have to tackle well. And then they got to get some turnovers. You know, can they do those? Goff doesn't throw interceptions very often. And then last but not least, pass rushers got to win the one-on-one battles, including Jones and Matabike. But now, you know, there's no Matabike. So Travis Jones has got to be that guy, you know, up inside. Because, you know, who else has got to be that guy too, Bob? Who's got a chance to get some peoples?
Okay.
You know, he's got a chance, but the pass rusher, the outside guy, somebody's got to, you know, I mean, oh, wait, come on, you had double digits last year. Let's pick it up. You know, Tavius Robinson, I'm not expecting a lot from him, but Mike Green's got to, Mike, there's a reason, you know, that you went, you know, second round like that, and what we've seen thus far, you know, in the preseason. Show us what you had in the preseason, because that was pretty special, you know. So we'll see what they can do.
David Ajabo, any hope there?
No.
Nah.
Well,
he'd be active on Sundays if they, you know, he's up now because Van Noy's hurt and Adeze Isaac's hurt.
Yeah, and well, the key's going to be who else do they? Is it Urban that they bring up? You know, because they brought Ham back to the practice squad. Right. You know, so tonight's. I mean, we know who four of the inactives are, right?
Yeah, Ricard. Likely Matabike, and Van Noy.
Yeah, those four.
They're kind of the only four.
Yeah, and then is Keaton Mitchell up tonight?
I think John Harbaugh pretty much said Saturday there's no room at the inn right now for Keaton Mitchell. Because Rasheen Ali's practiced all week.
I know. But, yeah, just because he does those other things on special teams. But I'd give Keaton a shot.
Those are the keys. We'll get to the stats later in the show. Stick around for that. Let's get a call in, if you don't mind, everybody. Coming up next, news from the Nest. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, thanks for holding. What's going on?
What's going on, Bob and Vinny, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, big win by them Terps, man, Saturday, man. That was very impressive. I don't think none of us expected that.
Well, one of us did, and we'll get to that when we do the picks.
No.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And it ain't Malik Nolan and Vinny.
Yeah, but when you said it, you weren't, like, real strong.
Well, right. At least
I picked Nolan. It was like, I'm taking the Terps.
I did. You didn't. Neither did Nolan.
Right, man.
Victory lap. I think it's the only game I got right, by the way.
I don't see them losing maybe more than, like, what, three or four games? What y'all think, man?
Pump the brakes on that.
One at a time.
One game at a time. Now, Washington next. Man. Washington's got Ohio State this week.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough challenge, though, man. But hopefully we can get to a decent bowl game, man. Not the Odyssey App Bowl or the Blue Chew Bowl or whatever, man.
Don't
you know.
Be dogging the Odyssey App because we're trying to promote that thing.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'd rather go to something like the Sugar Bowl, man, New Orleans, Bourbon Street, you know, something
well, ESPN
decent, you know?
Had them going Christmas Eve, I think, to a bowl. It was playing Houston is what they had them.
Nice. The Texans, I think, we could win that game.
But right. But, yeah, my score for the game, my prediction, I'm going to say 40-37 Ravens.
Woo!
I'm not going to go on homer like some people got them getting, you know, blowing the Lions out. You know, that was stuff. All these homer people like Trey earlier and everything. You know, he's such a homer. But, you know, I'm more of a realistic guy, though. So 40-37, I say we still handle business. So we still come up with the win. It's going to be a close one, though. So.
You know what I'm not hearing from Rashawn right now?
Dallas?
Yeah, what happened with the Bears and the Cowboys?
That don't count, man. CeeDee Lamb got hurt.
Is that what
Clowney
it was?
Clowney didn't suit up. So, come on, that would have been a different game, man. We had our stars in there, man. But next week, upset alert. I'm warning y'all right now, man. Cowboys over the Packers. You know, we're going to ruin Micah Parsons' homecoming, though. So
And Micah Parsons, both of them.
Yeah.
Somebody's feeling the pain. All right, Rashawn. Didn't even mention the Cowboys. If they were 3-0, that would have been the first thing he brought up.
Yeah. Yeah, you had too much of whatever in Jamaica.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's see. I think Green Bay's going to be pissed after what happened to them yesterday. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's up?
Hey, hello.
Hello.
What's going on with y'all, man? You know, Purple Monday.
Yeah, game day.
Game day, man. Look, I got a crazy stat for y'all. Lamar Jackson, 7-2 on primetime. You know what the Ravens' all-time record against the Lions is? 6-1. Lamar Jackson going to be 8-2 after the night, and we're going to be 7-1. I'm not really worried about, I mean, I know some fans worried about it, but I look at it like this, right? Why force them to play like Jair, Justin Matter, BK, when we probably going to really eat them for next week? Because next week going to definitely be another, you know, big main event, you know, on the main card. But I got a crazy score tonight, man. I think the Ravens 45, I said 45-20 Ravens, but I think I'm going to get a line a couple more points. I'm going to say 45-30.
45-30. Another blowout. A lot of people expecting big points here.
Right. I think Mark Andrews, and Bateman, I think it might be their time to probably, you know, do something tonight, man. Yeah. You know?
I would think they'll try to take Zay out. I mean, because Zay,
hey, thanks, Trippy.
You know, because Zay is a big, big target guy right now.
Yeah, but if I'm going to do a little prop bet action, I would, well, like he just said, Trippy, I would do Bateman and Andrews catching the touchdown pass.
I could see
probably
that.
Probably be a nice little return on that investment. By the way, Lamar is 10-1 at home in primetime, 7-2 on Monday Night Football. John Harbaugh is 22-3 in primetime. Ravens are 24-2 against the NFC. All of those trends mean what at 8:15, Vinny?
What was that, Bob? I just got, I was reading a text that you got to take your keys to Barb. They're ready for your car.
Oh. I'm getting my car washed all of a sudden. Anyway, 24-2 Lamar against the NFC. What does this mean at 8:15?
Nothing.
Exactly. By the way, Carmelo Anthony, Derek Queen, they're getting honored tonight down at M&T. And same with Michael Pierce. So we got a lot of love going on. Ravens taking on the Lions. We'll come back. News from the Nest coming up next here on The Fan.